Well, if you're one of those people that follow the liturgical calendar, and I'm sure many of you are, or some of you are anyway, you'll know that last Sunday was the Sunday for the baptism of Jesus. But because we didn't have church, I wanted to talk about it this Sunday, because I felt that when that came up, a lot of times we get mixed up about what baptism is, and we don't really understand it. So I thought this would be a good time and a good moment to talk about what baptism is in the United Church of Christ, because as we know, it's different in different denominations. So every year on the first Sunday after Epiphany, we celebrate Jesus' baptism, which in the Gospels begins his ministry. Now, there are a number of ways to preach on that or to talk about it, but what I thought I would do is take the United Church of Christ pamphlet that explains baptism and kind of go through that with you, because I'm sure that most of you have not either seen it, or if you've seen it, haven't read it, because I just read it the other day. So I'm going to read this to you from the preamble of the Constitution of the United Church of Christ. In accordance with the teaching of our Lord and practice prevailing among evangelical Christians, the United Church of Christ recognizes two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion. For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as it were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all of you are one in Jesus Christ. Well, let me define a couple of words there. The term Christian essentially means follower of Christ. Unfortunately, for many of us, the term Christian has taken on a negative connotation, and we don't know what to think about that or how to be with that. I call myself a follower of Jesus as sort of a way of getting around that. And the other term that has been taken away from us is evangelical. Evangelical comes from the Greek word that means good news, simply. Evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And evangelical, then, is somebody who, as a Christian, shares the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's intended to indicate that believer. That's all it is. But because, again, that word has also been overtaken by people that we don't agree with, maybe, we have to explain what we mean by that. For me, it's an open word. It's a word of inclusivity. We are bringing Jesus Christ to everybody. Not that they have to believe the way we believe, or even in Jesus Christ, but that we share the principles and teachings of Jesus with everyone. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God. Through baptism, a person is joined with the universal church, the body of Christ. In baptism, God works in us the power of forgiveness, the renewal of the Spirit, and the knowledge of the call to be God's people always. Well, as we know, and we believe, that grace is a free gift. God gives us grace freely, without any strings attached. We don't have to do anything to earn it or to make it happen. It is of God, comes from God, and is given to us for no reason other than our humanity. Grace is unmerited and unconditional. Now, although we don't have to do anything to earn grace, it does invite us to participate with God to bring about God's kingdom. But even if we don't do that, we still receive God's grace. That's important. That is critical in this day and age when there are so many things being put on how we believe, that we have to believe a certain way, we have to do certain things. God loves us no matter what. And I try to say this to the kids whenever I speak with them, that God loves them no matter what, no matter who, no matter where, no matter how. God's grace is ours. And baptism is the symbolic gesture of that, a sacred gesture of that grace. God's beloved child and a child of the church, we are taught that baptism teaches us that. We belong to God's family, and baptism is the symbolic, tangible symbol of that. So, baptism may take place in any worship service. Do you know that? Baptism, typically in our tradition, needs to happen within the context of a worship service, rather than, say, in the afternoon after church, when it's just the family. Because the church itself participates in the baptism of someone and invites that person to become part of them. Baptism is a personal celebration in the lives of the individual candidates and their families, but it's also a celebration within the local church and a recognition of the commitment that they make to one another. The person being baptized, and if it's an infant, the family, and the church. If circumstances require baptism to happen outside of the church, such as imminent death, that's okay. That obviously can happen. And it doesn't require a minister to perform baptisms. I have done many, many baptisms of babies in the NICU who are passed or will pass, or maybe won't, but the parents are so concerned that they want to have that happen. Who can be baptized? As I told the kids, anybody, whatever age. And in the United Church of Christ, you can be baptized any way you want. We can get down to the creek and baptize you if you want. You can be sprinkled. You can be have water poured on you. Thank you. Any others? Immersed. Well, I said we could down to the creek and dunk you. We don't stand on that kind of ceremony in the United Church of Christ. We don't require it to be a certain way or look a certain way. The only thing we require are the words that I said earlier with the kids. And the United Church of Christ recognizes the validity of all baptisms. So you don't have to be rebaptized to become a member of the United Church of Christ. Water is the essential element of baptism. Water is a prominent symbol of cleansing and life in the Bible. The water of creation, the great flood, the liberation of Israel through the sea, the water of Mary's womb, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, the woman at the well, and Jesus' washing of the feet of the disciples. That's why water is visibly present in the service. In the United Church of Christ, as I said, the mode of baptism is up to the individual and the church. Now, parents, if you are baptizing an infant, parents, in consultation with the minister, may choose sponsors, may have people who want to stand, in particular, what might be known as godparents in another denomination, to stand with the infant or child or person, and to be baptized. Other candidates for baptism may also be given this opportunity to have sponsors. At the time of the baptismal service, the sponsors who accompany the candidates and present them for baptism may make promises identical to the promises of the parents concerning their role. I feel like I'm giving a lecture. I'm boring myself. I keep skipping lines. The Book of Worship of the United Church of Christ provides the order for baptism and orders for the affirmation of baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because in our denomination, many of us use inclusive language, and so we wonder about that. What we say is that the feminine understanding of God can encase these words so that we follow the tradition, but that we bring new and inclusivity to the process. Okay. This is one of the most important things I think that I will say today. It has been said that good theology must pass the test of being spoken in front of a grieving parent or a traumatized child. Theology is only as good as it is with people. And that's what I believe, and that's what many of us believe in the United Church of Christ. That we don't stand on theology for theology's sake, but only as it informs how we live with one another. So that we don't want to say hurtful things for the sake of theology, or things that might be hurtful. I know that in the NICU or other places I've baptized or been with families that we couldn't even understand language. But this was a common way of being together and for them having some solace. I know that I have stood with folks who don't even understand and aren't baptized themselves, but for some reason they think that baptism is something that needs to happen. And we do that quickly without a thought. There is no test to being baptized. Now, having said all of this, let me say this. Our church, the United Church of Christ, is beginning to talk about not caring whether people are baptized or not in order to join the church. We receive so many people coming into our denomination who are hurt and have had pain in churches that we try to be more open to who they are and what their needs are than maintain some kind of symbol that may be important to us, but scares them. So that a lot of times in our bylaws in the United Church of Christ, the old bylaws that we've had, baptism is a requirement to join the church. Well, some churches are putting that aside and saying not only do you not have to be baptized to join the church, you don't even have to join the church. You can be part of our community no matter where you are on your journey, and that we will be with you and walk with you in any way that we can. The church has been a great pain to some people, and we know especially our LGBTQ community who have had a lot of struggles around how to fit and how to be and have been asked to leave many, many, many churches, many, many, many times. And so we try to be open to that. So as Bruce Epperly says, God is constantly choosing each one of us. Divine choice emerges in light of our freedom and social context. God does not eliminate these factors, but works tirelessly and lovingly to awaken us to the love that gives us life and light. God never gives up on any one of us. We are all beloved children in God's eyes. In the real world of celebration and tragedy, all of us are beloved and chosen. And nothing, nothing can separate us from God's love. Sometimes I feel like when I say that here over and over and over again, I need to stop saying it so much. However, I don't think you can say that enough. Those of us, and all of us have been in the world, have seen the pain of the world, and have seen people shunned or put aside because they didn't believe what we believe, they didn't think the way we think, they did things that were untoward in some way. We have to remember that no matter who those people are, that they are welcome here in this room always, and that we are called because of our baptism to be with them. We are reminded of the Celtic Christians who speak of thin places where divinity and humanity are transparent to one another. There may also be thin persons, persons in whom God's light shines brightly, revealing God's self in saving ways. God can choose a certain person to be the bearer of healing, chosen to bless the earth. But the one chosen must respond, embracing her or his destiny as God's chosen spirit person. I believe this intimate call and response describes what happened to Jesus on the Jordan River when Jesus was baptized. And I believe that what has happened with Martin Luther King Jr., though not perfect, he certainly was a thin person in whom God's light shone brightly, if briefly. As we celebrate his birth tomorrow or the other day, we must be reminded what he was about: equality and civility for all. And today we must remind ourselves that out of our baptisms, we are called to bring about the kingdom of God. And what is that? Love for all, openness to all, healing for all. And as much as we can be part of that, we're called to be. Right now, we are in a time in this world, in this country, where civility is lacking, where it's easier to put someone down than it is to lift them up. I almost brought a hat I bought the other day that says, "Make racism wrong again," to put up here to remind us. Did you all see the notice in the paper, where I don't remember where I saw it, about the kids talking back to the indigenous person and putting them down and talking about building the wall to a Native American and making America great again? This goes on and on and on. And on the weekend that we're celebrating Martin Luther King's death or birthday, we have to remember and we have to stand up for. You know, back in the old days, when people would tell jokes about gays or blacks or people of color or people on the fringe or whatever, whoever they were telling jokes about, it was easier just to laugh and go along with it. And then the movement came where they said, no, you have to stand up for that. Well, I'm calling us today to stand up for this. Stand on our baptisms, if we've been baptized. Stand on our baptisms for what that means, what that meant to us then, what that means to us now, for civility, for love, for caring about all people, no matter who they are, or where they are, or where they come from. May it be so. Amen.